the Rochester was raised. On the end of a dead road street for the war-weary servicemen who'd returned from killing a man or two or three. With time, the old veterans made their peace and in moved the harder crowd. Criminals on bikes dealing booze and drugs, one percenters on the prowl. On their backs they bore their name in leather, the disciples sprayed in white. Wicked doesn't begin to describe their style. This is villainy taking a new height. They took the worst as their leader, a man known as the Snake, who once too often crossed the line. But as we'll soon see, he will come to pay. This tale of bloody vengeance opens on one hot and windless day, when a dark rider arrived on an old two-wheeled cafe. Now, one thing you have to understand, the disciples weren't exactly predisposed to strangers. But the rider waltzed right through the door and made his way to their jukebox. He seemed oblivious to the danger. This wasn't any jukebox. It was given to the old saloon by a one-armed soldier. He named it Judy, after his favorite whore. And forever on, this was the name that the jukebox bore. But by now the disciples had claimed her for their own, and they had set a bounty down, that to take a spin on Judy, your worth must be shown. The stranger moseyed up to drop a dime in Judy's slot, but overcame the Snake to intervene. There was no way he was about to let some stranger play on their machine. "This is Judy," the Snake explained. "The job is to test your grip." To this the rider nodded. "You get one song to ride if you get my gist. But pick wrong and you'll be pushing Barney, if you know what I mean." The young rider motioned to his left, where his old cafe racer was parked outside the door. A rusty, worn-out machine faded by the sun, older than the rider by 10 years or even more. And they all laughed at his old heap, all except the Snake. For just one moment he thought he recognized the bike as one belonging to his long-dead companion. But this he knew could not be, for it was he who caused the wreck that had killed that man. At any rate, the needle dropped, and Judy began her song, and they knew exactly what was going on. With a cloud of dust and stone, the rider was off for Dead Man's Tunnel. He rode fast and he rode hard, past the pen and past the yard, down across that state line, out to where the dead man are, with his needle hit 9. He rode to avenge his father, he rode for his family, he rode to massacre the man who caused him so much agony, but most of all, he rode to put his father's soul to rest. When Judy was done singing, the men returned to their drinking just as the song was fading out. But over the hill, screaming, came the hero of our tale, extinguishing all of their doubt. The rider didn't come inside to bask in some paisley glory. Rather, he had called out to the snake. He said, "Listen here, you scum, the day has come for you to die." As you can probably guess, the snake wasn't about to bear the shame of some two-bit punk who dare so yell out his name. So he mounted and off he sped in pursuit with everything that he could muster. Back down Dead Man's Road they sped through the twisties till their knees bled. But the rider, he was the faster man. It was the snake who blinked first, and he lost it in the gravel and in the weeds. Down a hill he slid and came to a rest with his bike on top of him. Exhausted, he had laid there in the feet, in gas and oil, and in the smell of his melted skin, as over the steam stretched the long shadow of the rider. Now at last, after years of wrenching and hate and schemes, it was time to see in the flesh the vision that had filled his dreams, to finally put an end to the snake, the man who killed his father. He tossed the coiled snake one last smoke before his journey, where he softly spoke. He said, "I don't know if you remember." The snake cigarette quickly burned. But once upon a time, there was a little boy whose father was the fastest on a bike, so good that you had to kill him. And now that boy has grown and tracked you down. It's time to put you in the ground.